What a wonderful name. What a transformational name. What a powerful name, the name of Jesus. Let's pray before we go any further. Father, thank you again that we could come together like this to lift our voices in praise and adoration to you, God Most High. We lift our names, we lift our praise to the name of Jesus this morning also. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for coming and coming to die. We will be reminded of that again later this morning when we celebrate communion. But thank you, Father, for your great love. Thank you, Jesus, for your willingness. Thank you for the death and resurrection of the Son of God on our behalf. We do pray this morning, Heavenly Father, as Pastor Charles has already mentioned, for our brothers and sisters, our friends and neighbors, in the United Methodist Church and denominations everywhere. Guide us, O God, by your Spirit. Guide us by your word. Your word is truth. Heal, Father, forgive, and lead your church, we pray. I do pray for each and every name on the prayer folks this morning. I ask that you would comfort those that are weary. Bless those that are hurting. Forgive us, Father, when we have wandered away. Help us to look to you always. As we've gathered here this morning, Father, yes, it's cold outside. And yes, we're probably growing a little bit weary about the long winter, but you have not changed. You are still on the throne. And I pray that in this town and towns everywhere of this nation and around the globe, that people would come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, to surrender completely to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, be led by the Holy Spirit of God, and your people would once again be salt and light around the globe to the glory of God. And so we've gathered here this morning, Father, simply to praise you, to worship you, to hear from you. So speak to our ears this morning through these songs, through the scripture, by your Spirit, speak to us, O God. Guide us to you in a personal, powerful, transformational way. And not only us, but churches everywhere and people everywhere. Thank you, Lord, for this time and everyone that could come this morning. Be with those that couldn't. Cold weather, sicknesses, all kinds of difficulties. Watch over each and every one. We ask and pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you have seen the title this morning, you know it comes from 2 Timothy chapter 3. If you pay any attention to a computer, which probably some of us pay too much attention to it, you will see that people use 2 Timothy 3 a lot lately because Paul is telling Timothy there will be difficult times in the last days. And so 2 Timothy chapter 3 has been thrown around a lot lately. I've preached from it many times over the last 10, 12 years. And I want to refer to it again today for a phrase or two in the first five verses. Before I do that, and this does actually fit in my sermon title a little bit, let me lighten the mood for a moment first. Quite often we have grandchildren at our house. Catherine likes to spend time with Grandma because she's not in school yet. She said school is boring anyway. So she likes to spend time with Grandma. The other day, I had come home for lunch and Catherine was combing Grandma's hair. And she said, "Grandma, you got gray hair." Grandma said, "Yeah, I know I got a little gray hair." And so I invited Catherine to come over and take a look and maybe see if I have any. And so she starts pawing around here and looking and investigating, and I'm thinking, this is good. She hasn't found any. I said, "Catherine, do you see any?" She said, "No, I don't see any, Papa." I said, "This is real good. This is my girl." Then she said, "They're white." I've evolved from gray, I've went clear to white. I say that simply because I have a natural affection for children. I love my grandchildren. I love my children. I love the children that we are associated with. I love children. When Sherry and I went to Costa Rica and we see these little ones run around, we have a natural affection for children, do we not? For the most part, we love children. Oh, of course they can get under our skin. They can tromp on our last nerve, and they can test your patience to the maximum, of course. But by and large, we have a natural affection for children. For the most part, we have a natural affection for each other in the body of Christ, do we not? For the most part, we get along pretty well. Sometimes we also get on each other's last nerve. But for the most part, we have a natural affection for each other. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 3, there's going to come a time, and I've chosen the King James Version today for one reason, because I love the phrase, I love the wording, the verbiage in chapter 3, verse 3. A lot of your Bibles, if you've got your Bibles and you've turned open to them already, it will start verse 3 with the word unloving or unlovely. That's okay, but what does that mean? The King James Version is why I chose the King James today, is because he elaborates on what unloving in the end times will mean. It means we have lost our natural affection for one another and even babies. That's why I've chosen King James Version today. And so if you've got your Bible, this is actually the second sermon I wrote this week, and I know it's communion, so I know on these communion days I have to be brief. I have to kind of get it all together and get it done quickly so we can spend some meaningful time in communion, which we're going to do. This is actually the second sermon I wrote this week, the first one I had written earlier in the week, and I was praying about that and pondering that, and then I heard the results of the Senate bill on the Senate floor in Washington, D.C. on Tuesday. And I was stricken with sadness, brokenhearted, and perhaps even a little sick in my spirit and stomach. And I'll elaborate on that in just a minute if you don't know anything about it. But I know that over the course of human history, this without natural affection has played out, okay? I get that. I've read the Old Testament just like you have. And I realize that even the Israelites came to a point in their time when they sacrificed, some of them, sacrificed their own children to the gods of the neighboring nations. As pathetic and hideous as that sound, it happened. And so I understand this whole without natural affection phenomenon is not new to the human race, but Paul said there's going to come a time, Timothy, when it's going to happen again. People will not even love themselves or their own children. They will love themselves, he said. That's part of the problem. They're so hung up on themselves, they can't see their way to some loving somebody else. And so as I contemplated this decision that was made by our Senate on Monday in Senate Bill 311 to not render aid to the live baby, yes, it was an abortion attempt, but the baby is live, and the whole measure was to, can we at least save the baby's life when they're born alive? Because it does happen sometimes. And when I heard that we needed 60 votes from our senators to do that, and we didn't get it, I thought, man, oh man, Paul, you were so right. There will come a time when men shall be lovers of their own selves, you said. And that, I believe, is the core to the whole problem in and out of the church. We are so in love with ourselves and our own agenda and our own initiatives and our own comforts and our own pleasures. We cannot love our neighbor as ourselves because we're too in love with ourselves. We cannot love the unborn because we have our own agenda, because we're too in love with ourselves. We cannot love naturally any longer because we are too in love with ourselves. I believe that first phrase is the core to all of our trouble. We are in love with ourselves today, in and out of the church. Paul said it's going to happen. He said, you know, Timothy, that in the last days, perilous, King James says, some of your Bibles say difficult, perilous times are going to come. And he starts out this whole conversation with men shall be lovers of themselves. And I submit to you, brothers and sisters of Christ, people of God, if we have been born of God, if we have surrendered our life to Christ and been born again, as Jesus said we must be, or if we're ever going to be part of the kingdom of God and allowed the Holy Spirit of God to come into us, he has given us directives. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, strength, and mind. And he said, the second command is just like the first, love your neighbor as yourselves. You can't love your neighbor when you're in love with yourself. And Paul said there's going to come a time when we're so in love with ourselves, we can't love our neighbors. We won't love them because we're too in love with ourselves. I've been talking for a month and a half about using our spiritual gifts. God has blessed the church, the believers, with a spiritual gift. We'll never use our spiritual gift when we're too in love with ourselves because we're too hung up on ourselves and our own agenda. Paul said that phenomenon is going to happen, for men shall be lovers of themselves. As a matter of fact, it gets to the point, I fear, that we can't even govern the affairs of the church and we can't govern the affairs of the state or the nation when we have become so in love with ourselves because we've got a personal agenda. We're in love with ourselves. And part of the phenomenon around that whole men shall be lovers of themselves is we come to this part that says, without natural affection. That's verse 3. And like I said, some of your Bibles, if you don't have a King James with you this morning, yours will say unlovely or unloving. There will come a time when people are unloving. I like this description better because it really shines some light on some things for me. We will no longer have the natural affection for each other, including babies, that we used to have without natural affection. And you know, we could spend weeks in sermons and sermons and sermons on this, but I'm not going to elaborate any on the rest of it. You can see of all the things that will happen when perilous times comes, you know what's there, you've read it, you've seen it many times. But the last part of what he says, it's just striking to me, and I'm not sure how to place this all in, but the last thing that Paul says to Timothy in verse 5, he says, from these kind, this is the King James again, therefore, from such turn away. The NIV says, have a little simpler for us to understand, have nothing to do with them. Have nothing to do with those kind, he said to Timothy. And I've been wrestling with that in a little bit because I love people, I love the world, I love what God has placed, and I want people to turn to him. And yet Paul is telling Timothy, for those that are so in love with themselves, and you can see all the attributes of what happens when you're loving with yourself, or I am, or anybody else is, we're blasphemers and boasters and covetous and all that stuff, Paul says to Timothy then in the end, from such turn away, have nothing to do with them. The reason I've chosen this scripture again, you know, a lot of you that I've referred to it in the past, is this simple little phrase, without natural affection. And I ask myself, in civilized America, in the 21st century, how is it that we can turn a blind eye and a deaf ear to a baby that's alive and lying there on a table crying out for help to live and we don't intervene? How is it we have gotten to there? I read an article this last week too from, I think it was a headline out of Iowa. Breaks my heart. A dad had a girlfriend living together in this place, and a little boy from another lady perhaps. And each day when the little boy would come home from school, dad would put him in a cage. And he'd stay in the cage under the steps going to the basement. And he'd leave him there every night, and he'd mess himself and he'd pee himself, and he wouldn't get fed that good. And pretty quick, the school teacher, she started to notice he's getting pretty thin, and even gobs of his hair are falling out, and there's got to be something wrong, the teacher thought. Without natural affection. It's the man's own boy. He's 5-6-year-old boy. Come on home from school, jump into your cage. Without natural affection. And I listen to the results of Senate Bill 311, and I'm wondering, how can we... I have seen those babies. I told you that a month or so ago. I've been to the children's hospital, and I've seen them born at 21 weeks, 17 ounces, and struggling for life, and we're pumping millions into them to keep them alive, because that's our desire. We have a natural affection. Let's take care of them. And now we've come to this point on the opposite side of the coin, and we say, well, this is just a botched abortion. Yeah, the baby's alive, but we ain't going to render aid. We ain't even going to offer a ride to the hospital, because that's what the bill suggested we should do. And we said, nah, we ain't going there. Without natural affection. We have arrived at the point in 2019 of America, we're so in love with ourselves, we don't have time to offer the natural affection that God instilled in the human race once upon a time. We're so in love with ourselves and our own agendas, and I fear it's in and out of the church. We don't have the natural affection for God, our Creator. We don't have the natural affection for our neighbors. We don't even have a natural affection that God instilled in us once upon a time for a little bitty baby. I've been on a farm off and on all my life. And I have worked very hard, and I've seen all kinds of farmers work very hard to save the new calf or the new lamb or the new puppy or whatever. Bring them in the house, throw them in the tub, warm them up, put them under a blanket, do whatever you got to do to take care of that animal and keep it alive. And yet today, this week, this last week, we said as a Senate body, a baby is born alive from a botched abortion. Now, we ain't going to render no service to that baby. And I asked myself, I first of all said, God, forgive us. Forgive me, forgive us in the church for not speaking up to a senator or a representative or somebody else to have our input into them. After all, they're supposed to represent the people. Forgive the church for not standing up for the defenseless, for the voiceless, for the innocents. But I see it falls right into what Paul told Timothy would happen in time. There's going to come a time when you're just so in love with yourself, you don't even have a natural affection that we once upon a time had. I could say so much more about that bill. I read from Minnesota Concerned Citizens from Life webpage on Tuesday when Scott Fishback, executive director of MCCL, wrote a large article about our own senators in Minnesota, how they too were among the masses that said, no, do not render aid. But I won't. You can read that on your own. Because I want to spend time in communion, I'll pull this all together so we can do that adequately and reverently. I simply ask us today in the church, have we fallen into the categories that Paul has listed before Timothy? Have we also in the church become so in love with ourselves that we've lost our natural affection for those things around us? I see these kind of decisions made by elected officials, and it drives me to my knees to pray for them. Oh, it makes us angry. And I ask myself and I ask us in the church, where does this put the church? Do we care? I simply pray, may the church, may these things listed here in 2 Timothy 3, I've just mentioned two today, there's a lot more. I simply pray, may these attributes listed not be named among the church. But I fear that without Holy Spirit guiding, these same attributes are in the church. And I simply think of the church and these decisions that get made by government officials. And I ask the church, are we praying for our nation? Are we praying for these officials that make these decisions, right, wrong, or indifferent, however you feel about it? Are we, as the church, praying for the people that govern the church and the people that govern the land? Because we're instructed to. You say, Jim, I can't stand them. Why would I pray for them? Because the Bible has asked us to pray for them, even when we have a differing opinion. Are we praying for our nation? Are we praying for our nation's leaders? Are we writing to our legislators when things like this happen? Pastor Charles did, and I'm proud of him for doing that. And he showed me the response from one of our Minnesota senators, and it quickly became evident it was a form letter. It was a letter. I'm glad he got a response. But then I saw another friend's letter, his exact same words. Change the name on front, exact same words. Are we speaking up on behalf of the unborn or the vulnerable or the lowly of some other kind? And lastly, and then I'm going to close, we're going to go to communion. I'm asking us, are we spending enough time in God's Word? Brothers and sisters, the Word of God, to even know what it says about such matters? It's not coming from Jim when I say God values life. When he says love our neighbor as ourselves and love the vulnerable, the innocent. It's not coming from Jim, it's coming from Jesus. Do we even spend enough time here to know what's here? And that we are in fact supposed to be praying for our government leaders even when we don't agree with them? Friends, the church at some point is going to have to decide if we are for God and His Word or we're not. Remember Joshua 24:15? A lot of you got it posted in your homes. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. The church is going to have to choose here pretty soon, brothers and sisters. Are we going to serve the Lord? Are we going to follow His Word? Are we going to follow the world? We're going to have to decide pretty quick. Joshua said it this way when he challenged the people, the children of Israel. Are you going to serve the gods of our fathers on the other side of the river? And that's what we're doing in America. We're serving the gods of our belly, our appetite, the gods of money, the gods of self, and we have neglected the Word of God. Joshua said it to me, to us. Are you going to serve the gods over there? Are you going to serve the living God? You're going to have to choose church people. You're going to have to choose. We're going to have to decide. Is my agenda going to lead me in life, or is the Holy Spirit and the Word of God going to lead me? I will leave 2 Timothy 3 at that. You can read it if you've never read it before. I suspect you've read it plenty of times. I call our attention to the communion table for the remaining time. These topics break my heart. Every now and then we sing a song, "Break our heart, Lord, for what breaks yours?" I believe these kinds of decisions break the heart of God. As if life in the womb has little value anymore, because we talked about this and Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. We've aborted 60 million babies in America now. If that isn't enough, now we try to take measures to render aid to that one that's actually born alive, and we say, no, don't render aid. It's alive, yeah, but don't even put an ambulance and send it to another hospital. This breaks my heart. I believe it breaks the heart of God. We are made in Him as His image. In the very image of God. And these kind of things break my heart. And I believe the church needs to pray like never before for our nation and for our leaders and for decisions. I don't have a lot of time left, so let me just forego reading to you any scripture and say this, that Jesus instructed His disciples on the night of His betrayal to, when we gather around these elements of the bread and, in our case, grape juice, to remember what He has done for us. And simply remembering, brothers and sisters, what He has done for us should compel us to love Him with a love that's supernatural. It should. Remembering the love that put the Son of God on the cross for your sin and mine and everybody else's should compel us to love in a new capacity. And so He simply instructed us to, when you do this in remembrance of me. And so we're going to pray. And I'm going to invite Pastors Charles and Marie, and we will administer these to you and remember the sacrifice, the love, the blood, the death of the Son of God for our sin. Let's pray. Gracious and eternal God, thank You for loving us with a love that just never ends. Merciful Savior, thank You for dying on the cross for our sin and the sin of all humanity. You have taken to the cross our sin, mine, and the sin of America when we continue to run in the opposite direction of Your precepts. All this sin has been dealt with, and we praise You, O God. We praise You, Jesus. If we will repent and turn from our sin and acknowledge Christ as Lord, we're a brand new creation, forgiven, justified. And so we thank You, Father, for Your great love for us in this. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And we thank You, Lord Jesus, Son of God, Emmanuel, for the death on that cross for us. the blood that was shed to atone for our sin once and for all. Thank you this morning as we gather around the bread and the cup. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. We do this to remember. I pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, if we received our charge this day to go forth in a newfound love for our neighbor and for all that you have created, may we gain a greater respect for life, for the blood that shed from your Son, Jesus, and that life in the blood is precious. May we, Father, from this day, as we love ourselves in a healthy way, use that to love our neighbor as ourselves in a strong and new way, for concern and for empathy, for love and for the care of their spiritual condition. May we, with new eyes and with a new heart, love our neighbor more intently today. In Jesus' name, amen.